in some ways, for us being in church today, worshipping Jesus. But also, of course, we heard that it was not always so. These two men, from very different places before their encounter with Jesus, but after it, were transformed. So let's have a little unwrapping of these encounters. Paul, or as he was known then, Saul, was what we might call a zealous Jew. In fact, a very zealous Jew. And later in his epistles, he speaks of just how good and zealous a Jew he was. And it's in this zeal that he is selected by the high priest to seek out any Christians who might be hiding in Damascus. It is inferred that he already has quite a good track record of persecuting Christians, which I'm afraid is shorthand for finding them and having them put to death in the most horrible ways. The Jewish authorities were absolutely determined to stamp out this new religion. They considered it blasphemous and dangerous, and it had the potential for threatening their establishment, and therefore it had to be stopped. Unfortunately for them, they hadn't reckoned on the Holy Spirit being at work. So Saul is dispatched to Damascus, armed with the chief priest's authority to root out any followers of the way and bring them back, bound to Jerusalem. But then it happened. An account we all know so well. The light, the voice. Why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus. And then he's struck blind. It's always worth for a moment just perhaps getting into Saul's thinking at that moment in time. I think terrified probably doesn't quite hit the mark. And now rendered blind, suddenly dependent on others, this proud, independent man effectively rendered helpless. He's led into Damascus. He doesn't eat or drink. I suspect part of that was shock, but maybe that he perhaps wanted to die. But we are told that he was praying. And then we hear about Ananias, who of course would have been one of Saul's targets. Ananias also has an encounter with Jesus in a vision and is given what I would call sat-nav accurate directions to a house in Straight Street and who he would find there. Now, not surprisingly, Ananias was somewhat concerned, knowing Saul by reputation and knowing what his current mission was. But Jesus says to him, go. And then this wonderful prophecy, I have chosen him to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and the people of Israel. And we know the rest of the story. His sight is restored, he's baptized, and immediately he is proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. Paul, or Saul, is totally transformed by this encounter. And maybe he was thinking, why did Jesus choose this man? What if Ananias had said, you must be joking, going to Saul? But looking back, with what we know of what Paul then did for the early church, I think we know why Jesus chose him. Now let's look for a moment at the other encounter we read about. Different in so many ways, but still a clear choosing and commissioning. Peter, so much had happened to him. He was the loyal disciple who then denied Jesus three times, deserted Jesus at his greatest time of need, and he'd seen his Lord put to death. But then he'd seen him conquer death and somehow be alive again. So what did Peter do? Well, he went to a safe place. He went home. And I think it's because he didn't quite know what to do, trying to make sense of everything. And then he's there with the other fishermen disciples. And then what I think is this most wonderful phrase, I'm going fishing. The others joined him. And it's that sense of, I don't know what to do, so I'll do what I know. The safety, Peter was retreating into. As we heard, they fished all night without success. And then this man on the beach shouts to them. Now, I think it's not surprising that they didn't recognize him at first. They were 100 yards offshore, and it was the half light of daybreak. Then there's this another miraculous catch of fish, because if we remember, this is how Peter first encountered Jesus. And then, of course, John announces, and Peter knows exactly who it is. It is the Lord. Jesus had prepared breakfast, barbecued fish and bread, and then this encounter. Three times, Peter, do you love me? Three times Peter affirms his love. And then three instructions, which are just slightly different. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. Peter is restored. Peter is commissioned. No more fishing, Peter. You've got another job to do. Two profound encounters with Jesus. Two men completely transformed. One from the path of destruction of the faithful. One from going back to just doing what he knew, fishing. And both became, as we know, great apostles. And we still talk about them 2,000 years later. And as I said before, in many ways, it's why, despite vicious persecution, the church not only survived, but it flourished. So what of us? Some Christians who often have been previously on a path far, far removed from Christianity will describe what is called a Damascus Road experience, an encounter with Jesus that dramatically stops them in their tracks, and a clear calling, come away from what you're doing, come to me. But many others, often who've been brought up in the church or the ways of the church, are a bit more like Peter, happy to continue with what we know, maybe drifting along. And then suddenly, and often very gently, Jesus will call and say, feed my lambs. A dramatic encounter that turns a life around, or a commissioning that also turns a life around. But either way, an encounter with Jesus will change our lives. We here must always be open to a fresh calling. However long we've been Christians, however comfortable we are in what we're doing, however old we are, however far away from Jesus we may have gone, because he is the one that wants to transform our lives as well in service to him. Just listen for a moment. Jesus is saying to each of us, do you love me? Then feed my lambs. Do you love me? Then tend my sheep. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Amen.